The theme, so we're going through a series of standalone sermons through the summer, which basically means you get to pick what you preach on. You know, for me, I'm preaching on something. Some of you will know that, you know, a couple of years ago, we went through a really hard time with our youngest daughter, Emily. She had anorexia. It was a difficult, hard time. And during difficult, hard times, it's really important to access God's resources. It's really important to go to good preachers, good sermons, good scriptures in order to, how shall I put it, develop a strong and good theology of suffering. Yeah, a lot of us as Christians have an extremely, what I would call, poor theology of suffering. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But what I'm going to talk about is just a couple of verses from Romans, which I found really, really helpful. Now, I'm going to be really honest here. Basically, I found these verses by listening to a sermon by Tim Keller online. Tim Keller is one of my heroes. When I listen to him on Spotify, I really recommend him. He's one of those preachers who's incredibly humble and incredibly softly spoken, but then comes out with stuff that is just so profound, it blows you away. Can I just say, it'd be really good, Christians, to have a sort of list of people that you can listen to online who you think are just, who will bless you. Yeah, Keller, Piper, Martin Lloyd-Jones, if you're a little bit more sort of old-fashioned. Yeah, a lot of these sermons are available online. People who are sadly have passed away. Keller died a couple of years ago, but his stuff is still available. So what I'm going to do is basically I'm just going to shamelessly steal all his stuff, regurgitate it to you this morning with a few bits and pieces of my own, I hope that you will get something from this just as I did. So, what we're going to do is, can we have the scripture up on the thing? If we can have it up, that would be lovely. Okay. Now, there is a slight difference between what I have on my board and what is up there, and there is good reason for that, and I will explain that in a little while. But let's read it in the NIV first. This is Romans 8, verse 28 and 29. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And the next verse, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brothers and sisters. Let's move on. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Quite a few long words. I will unpick some of them. I won't unpick all of them, but I will unpick some of them. What I want to do is focus on the first section, which is Romans 8, 28. Do you mean, I love this when you just take a verse and you just have a deep dive into it and have a look at it and see what it means. Yeah, The New King James Version is better, and I will explain to you why in a little while. But anyway, the New King James Version says this, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So what I want to do is I want to just work our way through, and we're going to take different words and we're going to focus on them. Yeah, so the first word we're going to focus on is and. You get some preachers who preach a whole sermon on one word. Martin Lloyd-Jones preached three sermons on but now. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? But now. I can't remember which Romans it was. It was Romans, but it was different, yeah. Three sermons on but now. I'm just going to briefly address and. And is obviously following on from something. Yeah, and I quickly want to say what it is. Romans is talking about, halfway through Romans 8, Paul suddenly decides he wants to talk about how being a Christian helps us through hard times. Yeah, and so in Romans 8, 18, there's this wonderful verse that I just quickly want to pick up on, which says this, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So our present sufferings, what we go through on a day-to-day life, you know, the pains, the illnesses, the troubles, the setbacks, the difficulties of life are not worth comparing, are insignificant compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. What is the glory? That when we are risen, when we are risen with Christ in a new heaven and a new earth, we enter into glory, and our present sufferings are totally insignificant compared with that day and eternity. So whatever difficulties you are facing right now, yes, when we enter into glory with Christ, this is just a shadow. C.S. Lewis talks about it, and he talks about, basically this is the first chapter of a book or something, and that, and that it's rather boring and all the rest of it, and then we enter into future chapters that are far, far more exciting. I love verse 19. I was just thinking about the implications of this. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Isn't that an amazing verse? Have you ever stopped to think what that even begins to mean? I'll give you an illustration. I love my job, which involves driving ambulances. And one of my favourite routes is from Guildford down to Dorking along the North Downs. You get a magnificent view of the South Downs. You get a magnificent view of bluebell fields. You get a magnificent view of woods. Newlands Corner, especially nice. Driving up the hill to Newlands Corner. Ros, you're shaking your head. You know that route very well, don't you? Lovely, isn't it? So pretty. And as you drive across the North Downs, you get these magnificent views. And sometimes I think, in a new heaven and a new earth, this is going to be even more amazing. I'm going to get to walk with my dad, who's not going to be in his 90s and unable to go anywhere. He'll be sprightly young 20-something. And we will walk, and some of you, you'll be walking with your loved ones, along the North Down Way, which will be in a new heaven and a new earth. Yes, everything, heaven will be joined with earth, and everything will just be just amazing. And we will get to do this with the people, we love. And even more so, that creation, that as we drive along, this creation that is fallen and dies and whatever, it is groaning and waiting for us to be revealed. You ever thought about that? What does that even mean? I don't even know what that even means. I don't even know. It basically means as we are resurrected like Christ and live in glory, we join with this beautiful new creation. That is the backdrop to this verse. And so basically, Paul is preparing the people of God. He's basically saying, what we're going through now is just insignificant compared to what will happen in eternity. So that's and. Secondly, we know. We know. Paul is not saying we think. He's not saying we hope. He's not saying we anticipate. He's not saying any of these things. He's saying we know. When Paul was hijacked on the road to Damascus, when Jesus appeared to him and he fell down, he knew that Jesus had appeared to him. When he was blinded, he knew he was blind. When his sight was restored, he knew his sight has been restored. And as he writes these words, he similarly says, we know. Note we, plural. Not we, I, we know. He's talking to the collective church in Rome. We know. We know. And he's talking to a church in Rome that is going to experience great adversity in a very short period of time. So the church in Rome, the Emperor Nero, who was truly horrendous, is going to come very soon afterwards. And Nero did awful things to Christians. Nero threw them into the arena with the lions. Nero made them into human torches on the Appian Way. Nero did horrible, horrible things to Christians. And so Paul is preparing the Christians in Rome for trouble, for difficulty. Yeah, and so as he writes to the Roman church, he's saying, I need to prepare you. I need to say something to you that will absolutely help you during your difficult times. So this is a verse that's important. Yeah, we know that all things work together for good. All means all. All means good things work together for good for those that love and are called according to his purposes. But all also means bad. All also means really bad. Yeah, really bad. All things work together for good for those who are called according to his purposes. And I do think, I then, my job involves seeing people who are in a really bad state. Just a few months ago, a guy, a Christian composer, you know, attended a local church, and I had the privilege of picking him up from hospital, and he was in an advanced state of dementia. And he was confused, and he wasn't being particularly well looked after in hospital. And I remember saying to a colleague, "We need to hold off before, you know, we need to hold on." She wanted to go because he wasn't ready to go, and whatever. He completely deteriorated, he was going home, and his wife was just beautiful in the way that she looked after him and cared for him, and it was tragic. And so you think, well, how does that sort of square away with this scripture? It's tricky, isn't it? How does, I shared on Facebook as well. Emily and I went out to Malaysia, and we went to Penang Island. What was the name of the town? I've forgotten. Georgetown, yeah. Georgetown has, Kavita knows this because you've got relatives buried there. Georgetown on Penang Island in Malaysia has this old Christian graveyard, in it are buried famous naval commanders and famous people, but also in it are buried Christians and Christian missionaries. And I'm just going to read out a tombstone that I went into. I don't know why I went into it. I just felt the sort of call of God into this graveyard. And I just want you to listen to this. The tombstone reads this: "Sacred to the memory of Joanna, wife of the Reverend J. Ince, missionary, who, after a short and painful illness, entered into the joy of her Lord, 1822, aged 27 years old. Taking with her to her grave her infant son, enclosed in the same coffin, taking with her her daughter, Caroline, aged 5 months, 23 days, taking with her her infant daughter, Eliza. I remember looking at that gravestone and weeping, thinking, I just posted something on the Facebook page. Joanna Ince was the wife of missionary John Ince. Did a bit of research. Sent by the London City Mission, they boarded the supply ship HMS General Graham, bound for Malaysia in 1818. The voyage would have been extremely uncomfortable, if not dangerous, lasting about 6 months. They were heading into an area where Europeans died in their droves from malaria, jungle fever, and plague. They landed in Malacca, moved to Penang, where Joanna helped to set up a Christian boarding school for girls. Yeah, this was frowned upon by the London City missionary because apparently she wasn't a designated missionary, which I find quite amusing given the fact that we're sending out female missionaries. Back in the day, women couldn't be called missionaries, only the husbands. Very funny. She had one daughter who survived and three children who did not. She died at age 27. Her husband died 2 years later, age 29. Just look at her tombstone. It is a gut-wrenching litany of the dead. How could God allow such suffering, especially amongst those faithful to his purpose? One reason. All things work together for good. For those who are loved and called according to his purpose. Her benefit. I'll tell you, her benefit is she was received into glory as a hero of the faith. She received her prize in glory. That was her benefit. Her family's benefit as well. Received into glory. Malaysia's benefit, as she set up an important expression of Christian care in that land. Yeah, she set up that home for orphan children. The kingdom's benefit, as local men and women are converted and follow Christ. Yeah. And our benefit here today. Yeah, as we learn of her commitment, her heroism, her sacrifice, and her resolve to walk Christ's path. All things work together for good. To requote a famous phrase, she is no fool to lose what she cannot keep, to gain what she cannot lose. She is no fool to lose what she cannot keep, to gain what she cannot lose. That is a Jim Elliot quote, famous missionary who sadly died in South America at the hands of South American Indians on his first trip to a tribe there. I'm going to issue a warning. This is my warning. We live in an age where there is the danger that Christians believe that if they follow Christ, they will be blessed and good things will happen to them and they will avoid bad things. Yeah? Linked to prosperity gospel, linked to America. Yeah? Follow Jesus, you get good things, you're blessed. Don't follow him. You don't. It's rubbish. It's just rubbish. It's rubbish from our experience. Do you mean our loved ones who are godly get terrible dementia? And we have to look after them. Godly fathers. Yeah, like Robin's dad. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah? So to suggest that somehow there's this sort of blessing for Christians, and dear me, it's just nonsense. Yeah, if you look at the disciples, yeah, after Jesus' resurrection, they had a choice, didn't they? They could have gone back and had a lovely life fishing on Lake Galilee. Yeah, they could have had a beautiful time of it, got married, whatever. But what happened? No, they followed Christ on the call, and all but one was martyred for their faith. Yeah, let's not beat about the bush here, brothers and sisters. There's an awful lot of rubbish flying around in the Christian world that talks about blessing and success and prosperity for those who follow Christ, and it is all a load of nonsense. Okay, all a load of nonsense. Yeah, the Bible says we know that all things work together for good, but there is a caveat to those who are loved and called according to his purposes. For those who are Christians, basically. For those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. For those who have welcomed him into their lives. And for those who are following him and going into eternity. Yeah. What we do works together for good. Now, this is important here. Works together for good. Yeah. That says works together for the good of those who love him. Yeah. So the NIV actually has it wrong. The NIV suggests that it's purely for the good of those people who are, yeah, it's very individualistic and very selfish, the NIV. Yeah. We need to watch out for individualism. Yeah. Protestant individualism is a real curse to us as a movement of churches stemming out of Protestantism. It's all I. It's all me. Oops, I lose my mind. The benefits, yeah, go to the individual. Rubbish. Yeah, the benefits go to the collective, I'm fine, the collective good. The collective good. All things work together for the collective good, for the overall good. Yeah? It's not I, me, my. It's not my walk with Jesus. It's not my personal relationship with him. Yeah, it is for the collective good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I just want to throw that in quickly. Let's move on. Okay. I just want to pick up on... To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We're going to move on and look at a few bits and pieces from the scripture. So quickly read this out again. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And then we get to verse 29, which is this. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he called, he justified, and those he justified, he glorified. And Keller is really good on this. He says the real danger with this scripture is it just leads the church into a massive debate into predestination versus free will. And Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his series of sermons that I listened to this, falls into just that trap. He then goes into a huge justification for predestination over free will. Yeah, and there's a sort of massive debate. And Tim Keller says, Paul would never have intended that as he wrote it. He intended these scriptures to be pastoral. He intended those scriptures to basically God say to his people, listen, I've got you. Yeah, I've got you. Just listen to it as it sort of rattles off. Those he foreknew, I knew you before you were born. There's a psalm that talks about this. Yeah, I predestined you to be conformed to the image of his son, both in this life as we become more godly and also when in the resurrection body. Yeah, he is the firstborn amongst many brethren. Yeah, those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. Yeah, through faith in Jesus Christ, not through our own works, lest we should boast. Yeah, and those he justified, he glorified. More on that later. I've got you. Yeah, another ambulance story we regularly pick up, really confused, generally old ladies who are in their hospital beds going sometimes to care homes, sometimes end-of-life care, sometimes they're going to a hospice to die. And they're fearful, and they're confused, and they don't know what's what. And so what we do is we slide them across from the bed to our trolley and they're sort of shaking, they're very fearful. And we slide them across and then I sort of wrap them in a sheet and I hold them on the center of the trolley and I say to them, don't worry, my love, I've got you. And I deliberately use the word, don't worry, my love. Yeah, or I say, my darling, or my treasure. I'll use any one of those words. Yeah. Don't worry. I've got you. And God is saying those words over you this morning. I've got you. I've got you. I've got you. I've got you. Don't worry. I've got you. I knew you before you were born. I knew when you were saved. I know when you'll die. I know when you'll come into glory. I know the resurrection day. And I know your eternity with Jesus Christ. Love you. That's amazing. Stunning. Yeah. It is. Just extraordinary.
pastoral, not theological. Keller was brilliant on that. And it was great that I managed to pluck up a story to go with it. We're going to enter into communion in just a while, so if you want to just nip up there, I'm just going to make my final point, which is this. We're sticking on verse 30. Those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. Glorified is in the past tense. Notice that. So the people of God, those who belong to Jesus, are already glorified. As far as Paul is concerned, that is a more certain event than you walking out of that door this morning at the end of this service. Your glorification in Christ Jesus. Resurrected, having a glorified body as he has, yeah, and receiving the resurrection of the dead. Entering into a new heaven and a new earth. Paul speaks of it in the past tense. I find that staggering. Staggering. And that loops all the way back. And we know. And we know. Wow. Wow, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Amazing. Yeah, the Romans is described as the Himalayas of the Bible, isn't it? It's described as true amazing peaks where you can just get a glimpse of the glory of God and his amazing son, Jesus Christ, and what they've done for us by sending Jesus on the cross to make all this possible. And of course, that's what we do now. We celebrate. We're going to celebrate the fact that we are glorified, we have been glorified as we break bread, because that was made possible through Christ's death on the cross. Yeah, that whole process. Yeah. This is amusing. I was talking to someone about preparing a sermon, and they said to me, well, why don't you do an AI search? And find out what an AI, yeah, it sounds horrendous, doesn't it? I absolutely agree with you. So I thought, just for a laugh, I will. Yeah. The last point was this. Talk about the golden chain of salvation. Now, I just thought, how can a computer know about the golden chain of salvation? Yeah. But the golden child, and then they had these key points. The golden chain of salvation is this: foreknowledge. God knew you before you were born. Predestination, God's plan for you was to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. This is God's unwavering commitment to the preservation of believers. Calling, God called you to salvation and a life in his service. Justification, God declared you righteous in his sight through faith in Jesus Christ. Glorification, the ultimate purpose is that you will one day be perfectly like Christ in a state of eternal glory. I couldn't have put it better myself. Yeah? My goodness, AI is pretty, you know, no wonder AI is going to take over the world if it can come up with that level of theology. Yeah? Pretty extraordinary.